And turn to James chapter 1. Let me just say it's a privilege to be here. I thank you for the invitation. I think it was Shipshawana, Indiana, the last time I had the privilege to speak to you. And so I'm thankful again for the opportunity. And it has been a blessing for the music and to be blessed here with all of you. James chapter 1. I tell you the message, are we deceiving ourselves? The theme has been Titus 1:9, holding fast to the faithful word, or the trustworthy word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. I think we're all committed here to teaching the truth, for standing for the truth, for defending the Bible, defending the faith. And I don't think that's so much a problem with us. But my fear is that if we're not careful as pastors ourselves, that maybe we might deceive our own selves in just how faithful we are living out the Word. If you do any reading at all, just over the last bunch of years, we have had men, pastors, falling into immorality. You hear of different alcoholism and other things that pastors can fall into. And you also see, or you have been around or know of pastors who come across as extremely prideful. Friends, in fundamentalism, if we're going to continue the faith and continue the truth, the principles of separation and fundamentalism, then we ourselves must be practicing the Word of God. If we want them to listen to us, if we want to raise up the next generation, then we must be faithful ourselves to not only teaching the Word. It's one thing for me to stand up here and stand in my church and proclaim the Word of God to you, but it may be a whole nother thing in my home. Am I really living by the Word of God? And I think that we need to make sure that continuously that you and I, as we preach the Word of God, that we are faithful to practicing those biblical principles ourselves. Pastors, we must be committed to the Word of God ourselves. And I think here at James chapter 1, we have a challenge before us. I think Brother Asher referenced the verse earlier, 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's not a one of us in this room that cannot fall to some sort of sin or another if we're not guarding our own lives and our own testimony. Look at James chapter 1. Look at verse 19. In verses 19 to 21, if we're going to be committed to the Word of God ourselves, if we're going to stand upon the Word, then we must remove the obstacles that may stand in the way of us truly living the Word. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. I think, first of all, one of the obstacles that might stand in the way of us truly being faithful to the Word of God ourselves is the idea of being swift to hear. The whole section here from verses 19 and following is about practicing the Word of God, living it out in our own lives first. It goes back to verse 18, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. God saved us by the Word. He gave us life. And because of that life imparted to us now, we're able to receive the Word of God. We're able to live by the Word of God. But yet I wonder sometimes if we don't have the obstacle of dullness of hearing. Again, it's one thing for us to stand in the pulpit and to preach, to give the Word. But how good at we are to listening to God. I mean, friends, we prepare messages. I like to hope that every one of you are very diligent in your studies. And we take time and we spend time in the Word so that we can craft messages that God can use in the lives of our people. So I know you spend time in the Word. But my question is, though, are we really allowing God to speak to us while we're in the Word? Are we open to God's teaching for us? John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He doesn't only save us through the Word. He sanctifies us through the Word. The Word of God is something that you and I must be committed to living out. not just teaching it and studying it. And I ask the question that why is it so easy, or why do we read about so many pastors falling into all sorts of problems? Even for me, I went to college when I was 27 years old. And while I was in college, one of the things that shocked me maybe more than anything else is how many pastor's kids that I have seen that were thrown out of college. I was amazed by how many pastor's kids were getting into trouble. And I couldn't fathom that. I didn't understand that. And I start to question and I say to myself, are we as pastors really committed to the Word of God? Not defending it, not preaching it, not studying it, but actually assimilating it into our own hearts and into our own lives. Is God able to speak to us and to transform and change us personally? Because it's one thing to study it, to teach it. It's another to have it assimilated into our hearts and in our lives. Why should anybody follow us if we don't live out the Word of God ourselves? I mean, you can preach anything you want from the pulpit, but your behavior, people are watching. And when a pastor falls, so many people are hurt by it. And with the damage that we can do to others who are following is just, I think, beyond what we really imagine. How faithful are we to the Word of God? He says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, it's easy for us to speak often, but are we listening? Are we really listening to the Word of God? How attentive are you to the Word of God yourself? What if God taught you recently in your study of the Scriptures? If someone came up to you and say, Pastor, how have you been blessed in the Word? Are you able to quickly answer them and give them some things that you've been blessed by because you're spending quality time in the Word yourself? We're going to defend the faith. If we're going to hold truth to the faith of the Word of God, then we must be living it ourselves. We must be swift to hear. The word swift, the idea of to be eager, attentive, ready to receive the things of God without delay, to assimilate it into our lives, to give careful attention, to have our hearts open to the working of the Holy Spirit of God. Because we ask ourselves, why do these men fall so easily? Well, for one thing, we're really no different than anybody else. We just have a different calling. We're still sinners, saved by grace. But I think there's a danger of pride that because we are a pastor, because we have education, because we spend most of our week maybe in the Word and not in another secular job, although some of you also work secular jobs, but it's something I think that times we may get a little prideful and we put ourselves maybe above everybody else and we forget that we too are just sinners. We could quite easily fall ourselves. Are we listening to the Word of God? Are we allowing God to speak to us? Maybe many of you are older than I am, been in the ministry more than I am. Maybe you're just spiritually much more mature than I am. But I know it's easy in preparing messages to not take the time and concentrate on the Word for myself. And that's a danger that I try to keep myself guarded from. And I just want to challenge you, are we really listening to the Word of God ourselves? See, the problem is, even in a conference, I don't mean to point a finger in your eye, but sometimes do you ever find yourself sitting and you're listening to the guy in the pulpit? Maybe he'll do this to me, I don't know. But you're sitting back and thinking, I could have done that so much better than him. What is he doing up there? Instead of actually listening to something the Spirit of God might say through the speaker to us, but because at times, you know, we can be very prideful. What about those we disagree with? Can God ever say something to them that might be a challenge to us? But we get quick to get angry, quick to turn people off. There's an obstacle of pride, of thinking we have arrived, but are we really swift to hear? Are we listening to the Word of God? Slow to wrath. You know, God's Word stirs up emotions, does it not? It stirs up responses every time we hear it. Are we able to control our emotions that the Spirit of God can speak to us and teach us? Because, friends, if we want to win our young people, you know, I think my church in Kittery, when they first looked at me because I was a younger man, I think they thought I had all the answers to the younger generation. I had to rudely tell them I do not. But if we want the younger generation to listen to us, then we must practice the Word ourselves. We cannot tell them one thing and turn right around and do another, because they are watching us, and they're watching us closely. Are we swift to hear? But also verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. The removal of sinful habits. Sin obstructs the reception of the Word, and we need to be careful, folks. Just because we're pastors doesn't mean that we might not struggle with certain sinful habits in our life. Or it does not mean that we're not one step away from falling into those sinful habits, especially if we're not swift to hear the Word of God. There are a lot of pastors struggling with different issues. And I think it's because they do not see sin as something extremely ugly and offensive to God. You notice what he says. He says, lay apart all filthiness. But then he goes and he says, all superfluity of naughtiness, an abundance of evil. I think he here is being emphatic in describing sin and the ugliness of sin. And the question is, do we really despise sin? Do we truly regard sin as a great offense to God? One of my mentors, who's not able to be here this year, Dr. Robert Delaney, you know him well. He's been a great influence and a mentor in my life. He always said to us students, keep short accounts with God. Maybe he said that here many a times, but that's one thing that'll stick in my mind as long as I live from him. Keep short accounts with God. You know, it's interesting because no matter what class I had with Dr. Delaney, it didn't matter what the class was about. He always brought a spiritual emphasis into those classes. He begged those young people to love the Word of God, to obey the Word of God, and to live out the Word of God in our lives. And folks, we must have a hatred for sin. It's not easy in this day and age, is it? We are inundated, full of things around us. You can't even drive down the road without seeing billboards with pictures on that will be embarrassing to you. Everywhere we go, sin is becoming more and more acceptable. And I'm afraid that maybe it's becoming more and more acceptable in our churches, but maybe even more and more acceptable with us. Do we truly hate sin? Do we see it as something that is a real stumbling block to us? Are we taking seriously sin in our own lives as pastors? Again, it's easy day by day to go through the motions of putting together messages and visiting people, but sometimes we neglect our own spiritual lives. There are obstacles to receiving the Word. How committed are we? Are we careful to be aware of those obstacles, and are we careful to deal with them? Are we... You know, isn't it something I think most of you preach in your pulpits to have daily quiet time? We tell that to our people all the time, but I wonder how many of us are really having a quality daily time with God. I hope that you are, because it's that time with God that will help and cultivate in us a real hatred for sin. Are we removing the obstacles that will keep us from being committed to the Word of God? And notice in verse 21 also he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted or the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. It's interesting, he says to receive it with meekness. Again, the idea may be here that as pastors sometimes we get a little prideful and we get to the place where maybe we're know-it-alls and we're maybe not as teachable as we once were. How teachable are we? Are we receiving the Word of God with humility and understanding that I am still a sinner, I have not arrived, and if I'm not careful, I'm going to fall into these sins just as quick as anybody else? Are we humble enough to say, I still need that time with God because I need the Word of God embedded, implanted in my heart to purify me so that I can be a right testimony before the folks that God has called us to minister to? Are we removing the obstacles? But notice also, in verses 21 through 24, we're going to be committed to the Word of God. We must truly receive the Word into our hearts. Verse 21, again, he says, to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We are ready to receive the Word of God when we deal with God and remove these obstacles, when we deal with sin in our lives, and we're truly open into receiving the Word of God. The word receive is an aorist imperative. The idea is a sense of urgency. To appropriate, to have an appropriating reception of the Word of God into our hearts is a sense of urgency to us to receive the Word of God, not just to teach it, but to receive it in our hearts to actually live it out. Remember in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He was praising them because they received the Word of God, and they received it with a readiness to live it out. And you know the people there at Thessalonica, they went out and they were spreading the Word of God abroad. And Paul says, I didn't even have to go into some of those places because they were doing it. They received the Word of God. It changed their hearts. And they couldn't wait to go out and tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ and set the example of what a believer ought to look like. Consider also Acts chapter 17, verse 11, talking of the Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with what? Oh, readiness of mind. And searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. This readiness of mind, a predisposition of a willing, eager heart to not only receive it, but to act upon the Word of God. How are we receiving the Word of God? Are we receiving it truly embedded, into our hearts? To receive this engrafted or this implanted Word that's rooted down. Again, verse 18, God saved us. He gave us new life. Because of that, now we can understand the Scriptures. The Spirit of God can take the Scriptures and work it into our hearts and to mature us into the image of Jesus Christ. We have the ability to understand the Word and to live it. Are you really committed to the Word of God, to receiving it deep down into your heart with the purpose that I'm going to live this Word out? Because I've known of pastors, and you have too, I'm sure, that were very faithful to preaching. And they preached good messages, and you could say amen just about everything they did, and then you observe their life. You know someone like that? And you watch them, and you observe them, and you come to a quick realization that they're not really receiving the Word of God in their own heart. Oh, sure, they're studying it. They know it. They're teaching it. But they're not living it. And friends, that's a real stumbling block to our folks. Are we receiving the Word of God into our hearts? That we are purposing to live it out? That we are willing to make those changes in our own lives? Maybe one of the hardest things is when somebody in our church points out to us something we've been inconsistent in. How do you respond to that? You get upset? How dare somebody in the pew to come up and tell me what I've done wrong? And yet God sometimes will use them to work on us, to shape and mold us more into the image of Jesus Christ. Are we receiving the implanted Word? Does your heart contain ready soil for the implanted Word to take root and to mature us, that we would be more like Jesus Christ? He goes on in verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's easy to deceive ourselves, to listen to the Word, but then not actually practice it. But then he gives an illustration Verse 23 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He looks into a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway forget what manner of man that he was." So he gives us this warning that we're not just to hear it. See, we're sitting here today. We've heard lots of preaching. But it's one thing to actually make up your mind you're going to do something about what you hear. We demand that on our folks in the pews, in our churches. But how good are we are being doers of the Word, to be practitioners, to be performers of the Word ourselves. It's an imperative command. The construction commands continual action. To be continually performing the Word of God. To receive it and then to actually live it. So he gives the illustration. He says a person looking into the mirror. He looks into the mirror. Now I've heard some people say that what he's doing is he goes to the mirror, he looks in, and he walks away, and he really didn't pay attention to what he saw. But really, the words there don't really allow for that. He says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. The word beholding is a word that he looks into the mirror and he sees. I mean, he sees all the imperfections. I mean, he's actually looking. He's piercing into it. But that he walks away and quickly forgets. A carelessness, or simply maybe not caring. He saw something that needed attention, but he was either too busy to do something about it, too careless to do something about it, or he just simply didn't care enough to change. Could this be us? So busy in the ministry, ministering to everybody else, so busy preparing messages, that we look into the mirror, we may see the problems in our life, but we walk away and we get busy with everything else, and we actually don't deal with those issues in our own heart and our own lives. Friends, we need to take our Christian walk extremely serious. Because if we're going to preach one thing from the pulpit, we better live it out. Because not only are we going to cause others to stumble, but we're going to have to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we truly men and women who are willing to do the Word of God and not simply hear it, but act upon it in our own hearts and in our own lives? Are we submitting to the Word of God? Are we allowing it to transform and to change us? Notice verse 25. Are we truly devoted to obedience? Because he follows through with this illustration. He says, verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Notice what he says, verse 25, "But whoso looketh," again, this word parakoupsos has the idea of, as he looks, almost like a stooping down and a piercing look. Like when Peter and John ran to the tomb. And it says that Peter pierced down. He looked into the tomb. He kind of stooped over so he could get a better look. He's looking into it. Also, the same word is used in 1 Peter 1:2, talking about the angels. 1 Peter 1:2, it says, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves," meaning the Old Testament prophets, "but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into." Same word. They pierced. They wanted to see, what is this gospel that's saving man? What is going on here? Of course, they don't understand that. They didn't have to accept some gospel message. They're looking down, they're piercing, trying to figure out what this is all about. So verse 25, he says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." What is the perfect law of liberty? I think it's just simply the law of liberty. It's the Word of God. God's Word is absolute truth. It's absolute authoritative. It sets us free. It tells us about the saving work of Jesus Christ. So not only does it set us free from the slavery of sin, but it allows us to mature into the faith and to grow into Christ-likeness. That law of liberty, it sets us free. Friends, sometimes we need to be set free from the slavery of sin. You're saved. Ultimately, you're broken from the slavery of sin. And yet, if we're not careful, we find ourselves still allowing sin to be a master over us. Again, the idea of taking sin seriously. He says, but whoso looketh into this perfect law of liberty, it's perfect. It completes us. It perfects our moral character. And it leads us into a Christ-likeness. Are we looking into the Word of God, into this perfect law of liberty? But notice the key, and continueth therein. So he didn't go up to the mirror and look into the mirror and he perceives something's wrong, but then he turns around, he walks away, and he gets busy with everything else, and he does nothing about it. But here he says, no, the person comes up to the mirror, he looks in, and he gazes, and he realizes there are some things that are wrong, they need to be dealt with. Now, we know here that the mirror he is talking about is the Word of God. So he says, but whoso looketh into this perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he is dedicated to the Word. He's in it day in and day out, devoted to practicing it, and to allow it to be implanted into the heart. Whoso looketh into this perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Are we piercing into the Word of God? Friends, when we looked into the mirror of the Word of God, we come to realize that we were sinners. We saw ourselves as sinners. We realized there was nothing I could do to save myself. But as we continued to look into the Word of God, we saw the Savior. We come to the realization that the Savior could do something about my sin. He died for me. And so then you and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But as we continue in this perfect law of liberty, He continually sets us free from the bondage of things, of those sins in our life that trip us up and cause us to stumble. We continue in the Word of God and He reveals to us those areas of our lives that we need fixed. He shows us how we can get victory over these things. He teaches us how we can live a fruitful life for the Lord Jesus Christ. But pastors, if all we are doing is studying the Word of God so that we can feed our people, but yet we're not really taking the time to allow it to feed us, we're doing ourselves a great injustice. But we're also doing our churches a great injustice. Are you really a doer of the Word? Are you really putting it into practice in your life? Friends, it's valuable if we're going to keep the faith, if we're going to stand for the faith. If we want people to accept what we have, then we must live it out before them. I think it's so vitally important that we do this. Because some of the complaints you will hear, most of the complaints that you read about against fundamentalism is a joke. You know that, I know that. But every once in a while, there's a complaint that I think is legit. And sometimes, some of our forefathers in fundamentalism, and I love fundamentalism, and I appreciate especially you in this room, but there have been some that have dealt with things in an ugly way, if you know your history of fundamentalism. And I don't think that kind of thing has done justice to our cause. The Word of God needs to penetrate our hearts. And we need to defend the faith according to the Word of God. But we need to live it out before our young people so that they see that we truly believe this Word. Not just so we can stand up here and shake the Bible at them and tell them what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing. But as they watch us, they realize that we really believe what we teach. Because when they see in us a passion that we really believe it, and we're willing to live it out before them, I think it'll do a lot more for us in winning them over to understanding what fundamentalism is all about. Robert T. Ketchum, I enjoyed reading his biography, but you know he kind of had a nemesis, another fundamentalist who was pretty much a thorn in his side. And when you read about what that man has done and the things that he has done, it's a shame. Because as I read those things, I don't see how that man was living according to the Scriptures. But yet you watch how Robert T. Ketchum, I shouldn't say watch, I read, some of you watched, how did he deal with it? He dealt with it in a very godly way. But those against him weren't so godly in the way they dealt with things. Let people realize that you and I care enough about the Word of God that we're actually going to live it out ourselves. We're going to practice it ourselves. That when it says the fruit of the Spirit's important, it ought to be manifested in our lives, that they can see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. But you notice also again in verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This kind of man, and only this kind of man, will see the blessings of God upon his life and ministry, will see fruits to his ministry and to his work. He'll be blessed, and you'll be blessed, and I'll be blessed if we live according to the Word of God. If the Word is actually implanted deep down in our hearts, that we are practicing it day by day. Not just teaching it. Not just defending it. But actually living it out for our folks in the pews to see. See, true knowledge demands action. And as we learn the Word of God, we better put it into action. And then, just maybe then, when the people in our pews see that we have this devotion to the Word of God, we have this love for the Word of God, that we are committed to the Word of God, it can be infectious to them. But let us be careful that we are actually living it out for them and setting the example. Study intently God's Word and examine our own hearts in the light of the truths that we read. If more pastors would discipline themselves to actually live out the Word instead of just screaming it from the pulpit, maybe we wouldn't have so many people falling into immorality and other such things. Maybe we wouldn't see so many pastor kids being thrown out of Christian colleges. Maybe we can pass on to our children our loving commitment to the Word of God. I have no right to think that Josiah, my 9.5-month-year-old boy, will love the Word of God if I am not committed to the Word of God. He lives in my house. If I'm not actually going to live out the Word, he knows it. So I need to make sure that I'm actually putting into practice the Word of God if I expect him to. And show him a love and a commitment to the Word of God. Pastors, I don't know all of you very well. I know some of you. But for those of you that still have children at home, what are they learning from you? Are they going to grow in a commitment to the Word of God and obeying it because you're committed to the Word of God and obeying it? And then we can say the same thing for the young people in our churches. Are we committed? Are we submitted? Are we purposing to practice the Word of God in our own lives? I haven't shared with you any deep theological convictions necessarily here, and this is a message you have preached many times. But I felt convicted to preach this because I think that sometimes we're in a position where pride can set in what we do in teaching and preaching the Word of God, but we may be very careless in actually living it out in our lives. And let us purpose that not only to defend the faith, not only to teach the faith, but we'll be committed to practicing the faith ourselves. And then let us share that commitment to the next generation. Now, we know that fundamentalism today and separation isn't popular. And so there's no promise of who's going to follow us. And actually, as the time for Jesus to come back nears, I mean, we may dwindle even more. But let us stand faithful. But if we're going to stand faithful to the Word, we got to be practicing the Word ourselves. Let us be true to the Word of God ourselves. Let us pray. Father, this afternoon, we've looked into Your Word, and Father, not complicated truths at all, a very simple message, and yet, Father, I think a very needful and important message. Fathers, pastors, we need to be committed to the Word of God, not just to defend it, not just to teach it, but Father, help us to be committed to living it out and accepting it deep down into our own hearts. Father, we read too much of men falling from the ministry. I've seen too many pastors' kids struggling to be committed to the Lord themselves. And Father, oftentimes it is our fault. And we get so caught up and so busy in the ministry that we fail to feed our own souls. And Father, I pray for each one in this room today, especially the pastors, the leaders of the churches here, that Father, that You would burn into our hearts a true commitment and a love for Your Word, to practice it, to be doers of the Word and not simply hearers. Father, help us. Encourage us, shape and mold us, that we would be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Father, give us that strength to walk in faith and to trust in You, to feed those in our churches and to help pass along that commitment. Keep us faithful, we pray. That, Father, we're not a hindrance to others coming to the faith, but that as they watch us, we're setting the example, as Paul said, to follow Him as he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your Word, Father. Thank You for the Lord Jesus and all that He has done for us. Keep us true and keep us faithful, we pray. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.